The Mikey Bet Show, the Mikey Bet Show, do you know the Mikey Bet Show?
Tino Antonacci made nothing but money off me. I'd be at Boss to Pasta at 2 in the morning with 4 or 5 guys. We'd be off for there's no way he's going to get on the air tomorrow. No way. This one I was working from 10 to 2. Tino would go, I'll bet you $100 right now he's on the air tomorrow, and he's on, and you won't even notice that he was out. So I'd come on. Hey, everybody, Mike North here on WSCR, The Score, along with Dan Jiggets. Mike, how you doing today? I'm doing good, Jiggs. Everything going good. What'd you do last night? I was on the world tour last night. But you know me, when the red light goes on, and then we'd go to a break, I'd go, oh. And then we'd go back on. Bing, bang, boom. Right? Because nobody driving that's listening to me or any of the guys at The Score wanted to hear that shit, that you're hungover. Nobody wants to hear that. Hey, everybody, we're Metallica. We're tired from last night. They don't do that. Hey, I'm Mick Jagger. We're going to put on a show if we can, but we were out late last night, right? Hey, Sinatra, last night I was drunk till 4 in the morning. We'll try to give you what you want. They just go out and do it. I live large.
Hey everybody, it's Aldo Gandhi, and I just want to let you know really quickly that our swag shop is reopened. DeepDishTees.com is where you go, and that's Tees with T-E-E-S. Clever name, guys. They're the new home of our merchandise. You can get t-shirts, you can get caps, you can get coffee mugs, you can get hoodies, you can get all sorts of good stuff, and you'll help out the barroom with the purchase. So head over to DeepDishTees.com.
Some may find the following disturbing. Discretion is advised.
Every summer in Chicago, the sunshine spotlights the city's spectacular skyline. Its luxurious lakeshore, marvelous monuments, and the over 200 neighborhoods in the city. And it also brings to light two of the greatest sports franchises in the world. On the north side, it's the Cubs. On the south side, it's the White Sox. This is Crosstown Crosstalk.
Hello, and welcome to episode number 10 of Crosstown Crosstalk. My name is Vinny.
And I'm Joey.
And I can't believe we're at number 10.
I know. Time flies. And look at us. We're both wearing other teams. That's the first thing I noticed.
Yeah. I'm on the right side. So I'm normally on the left.
Yeah, that threw me off a little bit. There we go.
Yeah, good call on that.
I want to start off the show before you ask me whatever dumb question you have in mind or whatever. I want to congratulate Vinny Parisi at Vinny Parisi on Twitter on getting his blue check mark he's been wanting for so very long. So that was really cool to see this morning.
Thank you. You know, yeah, it's been a goal of mine for a while. I've always wanted that blue check mark. It's white on mine because I have dark mode on, but, you know.
You know what I mean by blue check mark. I'm pretty sure.
It's the blue.
It'll always be a blue check mark, yeah.
Yeah, even when it's white.
Yeah,
I do have a dumb question.
Let's hear it. Lay it on me. I'm always ready. I'm on my toes. I got to be on my toes when I log into the Barroom Network now.
Do you like a good road trip?
I love it. I absolutely love a good road trip.
I'm asking because, like, I know you're going on one real soon here.
Yeah.
It's going to be a couple of months before I think I go on one. I'm hoping to have a trip to Atlanta to see my good pals in Atlanta. I know we're going to go see the Bears play the Browns, I believe, is in the works. And then we also got Northern Illinois University versus Michigan at the Big House. And I think that's something we're going to as well, in addition to that trip to see NIU play Georgia Tech. So we got college football, we got hockey, we got I don't know if we have any base. Oh, well, if we see the Browns play the Bears, I think the White Sox are in town that same weekend in Cleveland, which is a nice little coincidence. But the reason I asked, we go on this road trip, right? And I hand you $15. And you got to use 5 of that $15 on gas station drinks and the other 10 on gas station snacks. What are you doing?
Gas station drinks, easy. Always a deal, whether it be Bang, Rain, Monster, 2 for $4. That's like a staple. Every gas station does it. You get 2 for $4, a little tax for something. So I'm getting my 2 energy drinks to last me the road trip. I don't care how much it makes me pee. I don't care about the caffeine. I don't care about that. So I'm getting my energy drinks 2 for $4. And then that leaves me with about 9 and change on snacks, 10 and change on snacks. And they call me a high roller. I know the price is outlandish, but I'm buying a bag of beef jerky. I don't care how much it costs. I love a good bag of beef jerky, so I'll pay the price. I don't care.
Okay, I love the beef jerky pick, but, like, you're going to be that asshole that, like, stinks up the car.
Yeah, I don't even want to hear that because it doesn't even smell.
You're crazy. Beef jerky stinks. Like, I love beef jerky. It actually stinks, not, like, stinks like it's bad.
No, you crack the window, we're all good.
Here's the thing, though. I was just playing devil's advocate there. If you, like, complain that your pal's eating beef jerky, you're the asshole, not him.
Yeah, like, it's beef jerky. It's not like I'm fucking cutting up filet of tuna in the car. Like, it's beef jerky.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to think of what I would go with. I didn't even think of it because I just wanted your answer. I think I would take a Polar Pop because everybody loves a good fountain soda, and then I think I'd go with a Red Bull for my 2 drinks. That would probably add up to be about $5 because Red Bull's overpriced, Pop is underpriced. And then I think for the gas station snacks, I think I'm taking some hot Cheetos and any kind of candy.
Yeah. Honorable mention for me, a sandwich. I'm notorious for being the guy who comes out with a gas station sandwich and just crushing it in the car, a little packet of mayonnaise on there.
Yeah, me and Joey love gas station snacks, if you can. We could have a conversation about gas station snacks forever. But we're going to talk about some baseball.
Baseball.
What do you like about baseball? We've done this already. Forget that. Shohei Ohtani was in the highlights over the last couple weeks, mainly because he's a freak of nature. He's a hitter. He's a pitcher. He literally does everything. He runs well. I posted my clip of our interview with Pitching Ninja on Twitter. That was, you know, a little blast from the past, even though it really wasn't that long ago. He does everything, and he's the best player in baseball. I'm saying it. It was hard for me to finally come to that term because I'm a Mike Trout guy. I like him. I like watching him. But that belongs to Shohei Ohtani right now because he's an elite pitcher who could throw 100, and his breaking stuff is nasty. And he leads Major League Baseball with 33 home runs. And, you know, I don't want to necessarily say I'm a fan of Stephen A. Smith, but I am entertained by him. When we watch First Take, we always get our laughs after our Friday nights and we get home from a night of drinking or whatever. We throw on the Stephen A. highlights and just laugh our ass off. You know, the Derek Jeter one, him getting pissed at Max Kellerman about saying Tom Brady's going to fall off a cliff when Kellerman apologized. Just all this stuff is so funny. He had a take about Shohei Ohtani that just kind of pissed me off, saying that he can't be the face of baseball with an interpreter. And that's just blatantly not true because if you remember way back when, Ichiro was one of the faces of baseball. He didn't like speaking English publicly. Manny Ramirez had a translator. There are so many great players throughout the history of the sport that had translators that were faces of baseball. And it's just an asinine take by Stephen A. Smith.
Yeah, it really makes no sense, especially like today. Like if you say something like that 10 years ago, it kind of like doesn't really get talked about as much probably. But like today, it's like you're really going to say that right now. He clearly is the face of baseball, and I agree he's the best player in the world right now. He's not the best pitcher in the world, but the fact that he's able to pitch at an elite level and be one of the best hitters in the world makes him the best player in the world. It's you can't argue it. And I'm very excited for this lineup when Mike Trout does come back from his injury.
Yeah, absolutely. No, he's not the best pitcher in the league. He might not even be the best hitter in the league, but he's top 10 at both, which it makes you wonder if he focused on one, would he get better at it even? I think the answer is yes, because I think we've had this debate on whether or not if he had to choose one, whether he would choose hitter or pitcher. And I think we both agreed hitter last week, but I've started to change my tune after reading some of the things about him over the last week or so since he's been like in the news even more. He was like a pitcher in Japan. Like that was his thing. And the hitting is just something he's also good at. And I think the Angels might value him as a pitcher more because their pitching is awful. They drafted 20 pitchers out of 20 picks in the draft because of how bad they've been at developing it over the years. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think if he were to – let's say he were to like stop batting and just be a full-time pitcher, I think it probably would make him a better pitcher. Mm-hmm. But I don't think necessarily the other way. Let's say he were to become a right fielder and just bat or DH or something. I don't think we're going to see too much of a jump in his like offensive numbers. So
fair enough. I agree.
I think it's pretty perfect the way it is. Let him be a very, very, and I say very, very good pitcher. I'm not saying he's like a mediocre pitcher. He's better than mediocre. He's a great pitcher.
He was named the All-Star Game starter.
Yeah, but I do think he's an elite hitter. I wouldn't necessarily say he's an elite level pitcher, but I do believe he's an elite level hitter and one of the best in the game.
Yeah, I mean, he'll give up a couple runs, but he, like I said, the talent is there. His breaking stuff is nasty. He throws 100. You don't teach that. You have that or you don't, and Shohei does.
Yeah, and he's also a fun guy. Like, yeah, translator or not, like you look at him in the dugout. Like, he's always just having a good time. He's got a great smile. I do think, I mean, he's young. English probably will come to him as the years come. I don't think he's going to necessarily need the translator forever.
He actually does speak English pretty well now.
Yeah, it just probably makes it easier for him if someone
could say, easier. You can't misconstrue his words. Exactly. He might not feel as comfortable with it yet. And I know that's like a thing sometimes where guys, like, they can speak English, but they're not always as comfortable with it yet. So they just use the translator to make their life easier. I'm with you.
Yeah. So I also don't see a problem with it. Let's say he didn't speak a lick of English and doesn't understand a word anyone's saying to him. Like, who cares?
And I also have a take about his translator.
What's up?
He's cool.
Yeah, he was telling me that. I really haven't seen anything of it. But, like, I mean, this guy's going to be in the clubhouse with you 24-7. He's like your wingman. So, obviously, like, he's going to get to know the team. And he's obviously bilingual. So, he's going to be talking with other guys in the clubhouse. And just seems like a good relationship with Shohei, the translator, and the whole team.
I just think as a duo, they're, like, perfect for baseball. Like, he was his catcher in the Home Run Derby, which we're going to get into the Home Run Derby in a couple minutes here. But, like, he was his catcher for that, which you wonder if there was translation purposes behind. But, like, he was able to bend down and be the catcher. Like, we could probably do that. But
well, I would imagine that the guy has some kind of baseball background. Baseball,
exactly. He probably knew him in the Japan League or something, never made it pro. But they also both have, like, personalities. Like, Shohei Ohtani has an anime song as his walk-up music.
Yeah. They're best friends.
I mean, and when they run together out of the bullpen, or, like, you know, when he comes with Joe Maddon to the mound to, like, either have a talk or pull him, it's just funny. Like, it's just good stuff. I love that duo. And it was arrogant what Stephen A. said. And I was happy to see Jeff Passan go on First Take and put him in his place. I really was.
Yeah. Another thing I want to say, you mentioned the Home Run Derby and how his translator caught for him. I also feel like there was a lot of pressure on Shohei in that Home Run Derby. Like, he went last. He, you know, they gave him like the number one seed. Yeah, he leads the league in the home runs, but I feel like he was the star of the show, and all eyes were on Shohei all weekend, or all All-Star break, you could say, leading into Tuesday and the Home Run Derby.
Absolutely. So, Home Run Derby, Peter Alonso wins it over Trey Mancini in the final round. Overall, what was your take of Peter's performance?
Yeah. I mean, if this guy doesn't participate next year, then something happened, because this dude was made for the Home Run Derby. He's in the MLB to be a Home Run Derby star, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, he's one of the better home run hitters in the league. Like, the Mets have a good lineup, and he's right in the middle of it.
He's also very young. He's made more in his two home runs than he has in his entire salary since, like, the first Home Run Derby.
You mean he's made more money in his two Home Run Derby appearances than in his entire career?
Which is crazy. Like, he's not, and I don't think he's necessarily an amazing baseball player. Like, I wouldn't say he's like an elite offensive guy, but
he was not an all-star.
Yeah, he was not an all-star, but these, like, sometimes the Home Run Derby, and you see it, like, some guys, like, who necessarily aren't better than others, even in the NHL, like in the skills competition, there might be a guy who's just very good at certain skill. And Pete Alonso, when it comes to throwing meatballs in batting practice, he can just crush the ball like no other.
Yeah. So, I will say, I do think he is an elite hitter, because he has 17 home runs. His batting average is .250, which is about fair for a power hitter like that. He's got 49 RBIs. That's a lot. And his OPS is .806. So that's not like MVP territory. And if that's what you only consider elite, then yeah, I guess he's not elite, but highly above average. Yeah, because .809 is like in that all-star range. Like, you could consider him an all-star snub with 17 home runs and 49 RBIs through the first half of the season. He's played 77 games. His on-base percentage is .328, which is pretty good, and his slugging percentage is .478, which means a good portion of his hits are for extra base hits. So to have a 1.4 WAR as a first baseman, he's having a pretty good year so far, and I like watching this guy. Like you said, he's very young.
Yeah. The thing that really – I know a lot of people don't put too much stock in it, but that .250 average, like if he can work on that, that would probably make him look a little better. But, yeah, he definitely can hit the ball. And he put on a show in the first round. He set a new record, and I kind of felt bad. Didn't he go up against Salvador Perez?
Yeah.
But Salvador Perez also had a very good round. Like there's nothing he could do because Pete Alonso's over here setting records.
And even in the final round against Trey Mancini, who we've talked about in high regards on this podcast more than once, you know, coming back from cancer, probably going to be the comeback player of the year. It was good to see him make a run like that in the home run derby and fall just short to Peter.
Yeah, it was a win-win. Once that was the final, Trey Mancini versus Pete Alonso, it was a win-win for me because it's either we're going to see Pete Alonso put on a show and win back-to-back, and this dude's electric. You saw the way he was bopping his head, dancing to the music. So that's a win if he wins because, I mean, this dude's awesome. And it's a win if Trey Mancini wins for everyone. The story, the whole reason that he wanted to do the home run derby and, you know, the motive behind it with his story, it made it honestly an incredible, incredible home run derby.
I agree. My favorite part of the whole thing, I think it was the best round, like consensus on Twitter and all that. I think Juan Soto versus Shohei Ohtani was the best part. It was the best round, the first round. Ohtani, he tied Juan Soto, who put like a show on. Mm-hmm. And Ohtani used the extra time to tie him. And then they were tied again after the 1 minute tiebreaker. So then they went to like a shootout type format, like in hockey. And it was best of three. And Juan Soto hit all three out. So when Shohei flubbed the first one, it was over. Shohei kind of got screwed because of that electric round that he had with Juan Soto, but it was the best part of the home run derby, in my opinion.
Yeah, it was. Santiago asks if we like the format, and the whole time I'm wondering, like, because Pete Alonso, when he got in a groove, going back to Pete, when he got in a groove, it's like every pitch was just, it was right there. So not only is the Mets pitching coach like amazing, he did a phenomenal job. Every pitch, he got in a rhythm, just gone. It makes you wonder if it was the old format where it's 10 outs, you know, and go until you get 10 outs. Like, what could he have done? Because he was in a rhythm like no other. And yeah, you get tired and stuff, but he used his timeouts smart. And I don't know. It makes me kind of wonder about the format. And a lot of people do like the time, but I'll be honest, I kind of missed the 10 out thing.
Really?
It's what I grew up watching. That's just me, because I think it's more entertaining in the grand scheme of things this way. I'll admit that, but I don't know. The 10-out thing seems like it'd be kind of cool for moments like this when a guy just gets in a rhythm.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, because you could get a Josh Hamilton. You could get a Josh Hamilton-type moment with the 10-out method, but you get a Juan Soto versus Shohei Ohtani-type scenario in this format, and I think the latter is more likely.
Oh, yeah. With this format, it gave Shohei a chance. He started off so bad.
Yeah.
He couldn't get the ball, you know, past the line drive for the life of him. And then finally he found it. And this is a guy who doesn't take batting practice. So the new format definitely helped Shohei. But when Pete Alonso was, you know, in the 30s, he was in a rhythm like I've never seen before. So if he had the 10 outs thing and he wasn't at 10, like he could have just kept going, I feel.
I'm with you. I would keep it like this. I like it. It's more entertaining.
It is more entertaining in the grand scheme of things, yeah.
It gives us more to talk about.
Although I don't like the three-swing shootout thing.
Give them another minute.
Yeah, or 30 seconds. I don't like that. If you're going to do it with a time, do it with the time. Because then when it got to the shootout, you saw Juan Soto. He took a couple pitches. He kind of waited for that one. And Shohei took a pitch, and then he swung at one, and it was terrible. And right away, lost it. He didn't even get to keep going.
Yeah, I feel like that was the first time the shootout was ever even reached. But we would have to go back and look that up. I don't remember it at any point, but maybe. But being tied for 4 minutes, I think it's technically five. because they each had the 3 minutes, then the bonus 1 minute, then the tiebreaker 1 minute. So I it feels kind of rare, but I was thoroughly entertained. So, you know, my last talking point for the Home Run Derby was, what are your overall thoughts on it?
I thought it was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. I actually had more fun probably. It went longer than I thought. I think it started at 7. It didn't end until like close to 10 o'clock. So it went a little longer than I thought. And I honestly had more fun sitting there watching that than I did last night's game. That's just my opinion. I don't know. It was just, I was more into it.
Two nights ago.
Yeah, Tuesday night. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm not going to go that far because I love the All-Star game.
I do love the All-Star game, but I just, for me, that Home Run Derby, like, I was really into it. It was like a little game. A good
one. I get what you're saying. A lot of people feel that way, too.
Yeah.
The reason I think I like the All-Star game just a little bit more is because year after year, our American League continues to shit pump the National League, and it's just glorious. I think this was the 8th in a row. Yeah, you're wearing that hat, but we know you're an American League guy. I love seeing them. They won 5-2. Overall thoughts before we get into the details of who, overall thoughts on the game in the American League.
Yeah, it was a good competitive game. It was a good competitive game for the most part. Like, you look at the score, 5-2, but the NL had their chances, you know, bases loaded. They were getting guys on. We'll get into some actual like player names in a second here, but overall it was a very good game.
Yeah. If Chubbs is in the chat, I'd like him to get ready for when we talk about the bases loaded scenario.
Yeah. First players I will mention were, it was, I know we talked about it last week going into it, but for the first time with the two Red Sox starting that left side of the field and Devers and Xander third and short, like that was really cool to see to open up the game. I loved that. And then they both actually got hits and played really, really good. So my Red Sox played good. Matt Barnes kind of struggled a little bit, but they got out of it. What?
He got out of it. That's all. He got out of it. Maddie Backpacks.
Yeah.
We love Maddie Backpacks. Shohei Ohtani, we're going to mention him a bunch the rest of this season and probably for the next 10 years. He is the winning pitcher, which means they changed the rules for the All-Star game, I think, because normally the starter has to go 5. Otherwise, the reliever can only get the wins.
I feel like you have to change the rule because no pitcher is going to go 5 in the All-Star game.
Yeah, but when the starting pitcher gets the win in the All-Star game, that means they got the lead in the first inning and kept it the rest of the way, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah, if they would have given up one more run, it wouldn't have been his win, right?
I don't know about that. I think it still would have been.
How? He only, it was 2-0 when he came out, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they won the game 5-2, so technically yes. The game-winning run was when he wasn't on the mound. It would have been Lance Lynn's win.
Lance Lynn came after Shohei?
Yep.
And then Eovaldi?
Yep.
It's just sick. It literally went Ohtani, White Sox, Red Sox. It would have been cool to see Rodon get in there, but it was like
the crosstown crosstalk All-Star game.
Yeah, because we've been pumping Shohei's tires. It would have been really cool to see Rodon get in there. Probably over Matt Barnes, but.
Yeah, but now we're going to preview the White Sox later, but I have a feeling all their starters are TBD on MLB.com, but I believe Rodon will start tomorrow instead of 5 days from now because of the All-Star game.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I'm assuming a lot of teams are actually like to be determined because the MLB technically is still off today except for two teams.
Yeah, and I'm not sure if that's a rain makeup or not. I'm assuming it is.
I don't know.
Between the Red Sox and the Yankees.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch. The White Sox in the All-Star game had 4 players. 3 of them participated. Obviously, we mentioned Rodon did not play, which I'm kind of happy about because now he can pitch against the Astros tomorrow. That's much needed. But when we lead off with the White Sox in the All-Star game, we got to talk about the guy that closed it out. He was wearing a hot mic and had no idea. Mother F this, fucking bitch that, like just everything negative, like every bad word you could say came out of his mouth. Like within reason, nothing to get you canceled or anything like that. But just, he's a fiery guy. Like he's going to drop F-bombs all over the place. And that's just what he does. He's Liam Hendricks. 1 inning pitched, 1 strikeout, and earned the save for the 2021 MLB All-Star game. What are your thoughts on our friend, the Australian?
Yeah, he is. I mean, I use the word electric a lot. It's like one of my favorite ways to describe people. And that's Liam Hendricks. It would have been cool if his earpiece was working. because Joe Buck was trying to talk to him, and I don't know if he was ignoring it or if there were technical difficulties. I think there were technical difficulties.
According to him, he couldn't hear Joe, but we could hear him.
Yeah, his mic was working. His earpiece wasn't. It would have been cool to have him talking to the announcing team while he was doing that, and just to really get like a good look at his personality. But I mean, it wasn't working, so it was just kind of a one-way thing where we were able to hear him. And I mean, credit for Fox for not like cutting it out. Like, you know what type of guy he is. He does it all year long, and they let the mic roll, and that was a good little treat for us.
Yeah, I want to know, like, if they just said, screw it, we're doing it. We know what's going to – like, do they not watch the White Sox? Because this is what Liam Hendricks does every day. You can hear him when he's not on a hot mic. When the White Sox are playing, he comes in to close, and he, like, misses with a slider. And he goes, fucking goddammit. Like, it's just so funny. So the fact that someone thought it was a good idea to put a mic on him is hilarious to me. It was a good idea in terms of entertainment, but for, like, entertainment purposes, but in terms of, like – allowing swearing to be on national television, I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, they had to know what they were getting themselves into. Like, he's not going to say anything super bad, but
no, he's not dropping any, like,
yeah, it was after 10 p.m.
like, he just says fuck a lot.
Yeah, it was after 10 p.m. so they're all good.
That's true. It could have been on Comedy Central.
Yeah,
Lance Lynn, probably the only other guy not mic worthy, but would be awesome to have a mic on him. He went one inning, pitched one strikeout, did his old Lance Lynn thing, the big bastard, as he refers to as himself. What do you think of this guy? I mean,
yeah, it was a true display of why the White Sox are where they are with Liam Hendricks coming in strong. You know, Lance Lynn, I think he did good. I wouldn't give up a couple base hits, maybe one base hit. It was a walk.
Yeah,
but like, I mean, it happens. You're going up against some of the best guys in the world.
Oh, you mean you're scared to pitch to, like, Nolan Arenado sometimes?
Exactly.
You're trying to push corners. Like, that stuff happens.
But, I mean, to me, he looked really good, and it's what we're used to. So it was great for the Chicago White Sox. It would have been really great to see Tim Anderson swing that bat, but we kind of got screwed out of that.
Well, that leaves us to our last White Sox player that we didn't mention yet, Tim Anderson. He only played defense for 2 innings. It's very hard because Xander Bogaerts – he got 3 at-bats, which it would be hard to give TA more time than guys who made the team outright. Even though Tim deserved to make it outright, he didn't.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been hard. I'm trying to think of who the other shortstop was.
Bo Bichette on Toronto.
Bo Bichette, you are correct. 100%, the Toronto Blue Jays. And
he was good. He's really good.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just named 3 of the 5 best shortstops in the American League.
Yeah.
I think Tim's better than Bichette. But a couple Blue Jays, you know, they made it. But Bo Bichette deserves it. So does Tim. Lots of guys who don't make it deserve it. But Tim Anderson only played defense. The game ended. It didn't end. The 9th inning for the American League ended with him in the on-deck circle. So that kind of sucks. We didn't get to see him hit. If they would have just gotten that one extra base hit, he would have gotten a hit. But all the White Sox escaped the All-Star game healthy and with a win. So that's good news.
Yeah. I don't think anyone even get hurt? Not a single person. It seemed like a very clean, everyone had fun. It was highly entertaining. I think Colorado put on a great show. It was just an all-around fantastic All-Star game.
Absolutely. Now, the Cubs that played in the All-Star game, we'll start with Dirty Craig, Craig Kimbrell. He played for 0.2 innings, recorded 2 outs of the inning he came in. I believe it was the 8th. Or maybe it was the top of the 9th.
I think it was the top of the 9th because I was pissed after the bottom of the 8th.
Tim Anderson could have faced Craig Kimbrell.
Yeah. I don't know. I remember being mad because I had the over. Yeah, silly me betting on the All-Star game. I had the over. You had the under. And so I needed runs. And here in the top of the 9th, I just knew, like, I mean, this is Craig Kimbrell. We've been talking about him for a while. That one almost went out, got my heart going, but Craig Kimbrell, I'll stand by it. Liam is amazing. There are plenty of guys, Matt Barnes, Aroldis Chapman. I don't know if Hader still closes, but Craig Kimbrell is the best closer in the league, and no one's going to change my mind.
Fair enough. He played well. They went to the last guy to get the last out. Chris Bryant, on the other hand, did not have a good All-Star game. He gave a very intriguing interview while playing left field. He told Joe Buck that if he got to play any position going forward, it would be center field, which is interesting. Not third base, his natural position, even though he's played five positions. Chris Bryant also went 0 for 2 with one strikeout and five men left on base. And you could really argue it was six because the bases were loaded twice, but a pass ball got by. So Chris Bryant, bad. He's going to get traded. He sounded like he was pretty checked out of the Cubs while he was giving his interview. You know, he said he's honored to wear the jersey while he's there until he's told he's not no more. So really kind of like genuinely saying, yeah, I'm cool with being a Cub until I'm not. Like kind of accepted it seems like. So Chris Bryant, part of the reason the National League lost because he wasn't able to come through for them. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, even the pregame interview with David Ortiz, Frank Thomas, and Alex Rodriguez, when they were talking with Chris, he pretty much sounded just like that. Like he knew he might be getting traded. He said 108 years. He brought up that, you know, he's happy he was able to be a part of the team that was able to give these fans their World Series. He seemed like he was officially like aware that, you know, his time in Chicago might be over. And then Poppy, my favorite line of the night was when he said, see Chris, he's like, yeah, you want to come to Boston? I'll make it happen. We'll make it happen. And I would love Chris Bryant in a Red Sox jersey. I'll just go ahead and say that right now. That would absolutely make my day. But yeah, he struggled. But I mean, who really cares? It's not like it means anything. It's just for fun. I wouldn't put too much stock in him sucking.
He's a versatile player that can play every position and can bat pretty much anywhere in the order. I probably wouldn't bat him like eighth or ninth, but he could bat anywhere in the order. Things would have been interesting if he actually would have been able to come through under pressure, though, because if he would have came through, tied the game or got the National League the lead, won the MVP, things would have been – that would have changed the narrative. I really believe it would have. And even though it's just an exhibition game, like people would be thinking, oh, Chris Bryant, you know, he could come in the clutch on the big summer stage. Like, let's trade for him. Let's keep him. Let's sign him, whatever. 0 for 2, having an average season. People think he's having a better season than he is.
That's really a good point. It makes sense if he would have done it, it might have changed stuff, but I don't think it really changes anything that he didn't do it.
No, not at all.
It's like a win-win-win. Yeah.
One thing I do want to say about Bryant, there are a lot of Cub people that like think they're going to get so much for this guy. They're not. Like, I have a couple things written down here that I wanted to bring up when we talked about Bryant. He's a three-month rental that's having an average year that can play multiple positions. That's his best attribute, right? The Cubs gave their 16th and 23rd best prospect to the Reds to the Detroit Tigers for Castellanos in 2019. Their 16th and 23rd best prospects for a very good hitter like Castellanos, who Castellanos in 19 was having a better year than Chris is this year. Let's go back to 2017 when a little guy named Jumbo Dong Martinez, JD Martinez. The Arizona Diamondbacks gave Detroit their number 4 and number 15 prospects for JD Martinez, his over 1,000 OPS looking ass, JD Martinez, MVP caliber player. They gave their number 4 and number 15. That number 4 prospect is currently playing in the Mexican League. They basically gave up nothing for JD Martinez, who was, by all accounts, having a better year than Chris is this year. They're not going to get that much. So if they kept him and tried to go on a run and take the compensation pick instead, pick number 35 it'll probably be, I really wouldn't be that surprised. Or whoever gives them the best offer, they just might take it.
Yeah. One thing with the – and I'll kind of play devil's advocate. One thing with those picks is, like, you don't know with those young prospects, regardless of where they rank, if they're going to hit or not. You can have like the 15th ranked prospect, and if he hits, he hits. And then you look like a genius, and you look like the other team's going to look like a dummy 3 years from now for trading.
Fernando Tatis Jr.
Exactly. And there's just really nothing you can do about it in the game of baseball. So, I mean, I say that if they trade him and get two prospects for it, regardless of where they're ranked, if they hit on those prospects, then it was good. Everyone's going to think, oh, that was a genius move. If they don't hit, yeah, it's going to be like, okay, you traded Chris Bryant for a bag of bricks. So, I mean.
Yeah, I think the point I'm trying to make, though, you're right. I agree with that 100%. That number 4 prospect could have hit and became a superstar. I couldn't agree more.
Well, and then the Tigers would have looked like geniuses. Or
I think the point I'm trying to make, though, is that Michael Kopech or Wander Franco or, you know, Casey Mize, they're not walking through that door anytime soon for Chris Bryant, is my point. None of those like top elite, top 10 prospects type guys.
No.
Yeah. Andrew Vaughn ain't going to the Cubs for Chris Bryant.
Yeah, no.
That's the point I'm trying to make. They're not going to get one of those type of prospects that's like a top 10 player. I forget the pitcher, Mackenzie Gore on San Diego. Like if the Padres wanted to add Bryant, they're not giving up Gore for Bryant. They got Yu Darvish for a bag of baseballs. So, I mean, just that stuff's not going to happen. So, you know, he didn't have success in the All-Star game, but it's probably his last All-Star game wearing the Cubby blue.
Yeah. What? When is the trade deadline? Do you know?
30th.
July 30th?
Yep.
Very interesting stuff coming up. I can't.
15 days away. Like, the league is going to have an overhaul over the next couple of days. There are going to be some big names on the move. I do believe that.
Yeah, and to me, there's no way that a team like the Red Sox and White Sox don't add something. I know we're going to get into that a little bit later on the White Sox, but even a team like the Red Sox, like, they're definitely going to add something. They're in such a good position, and I think Chris Bryant would actually, like, fit that mold kind of nicely.
Yeah, the thing about Chris Bryant, he fits every team.
Yeah, he's probably one of the most versatile guys in the league.
Yeah, he might be the most versatile player I've ever seen in terms of his defensive positioning.
Besides Shohei, he's pretty versatile.
Shohei can't play like in his stout shortstop though.
No, I'm saying like
he can. He hits and pitches.
Yeah, that's pretty.
I don't know. Maybe, you know, if Shohei like picked up a glove and like made a sweet play at shortstop.
Yeah, would you be surprised?
Surprise me. Yeah. No,
or if he made a stick like backhand pick at first base.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. You're probably right. The only thing that would surprise me if he did was catch.
Yeah, that'd be a little weird.
But then again, like, he's Shohei.
He's got his translator for that.
He could catch. At least he could catch home run derbies. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was named the All-Star Game MVP thanks for his 1-for-3 performance with a home run, 2 RBIs, and some very good defensive play at first base. Your thoughts on Vladdy's wagon ass?
Yeah, I mean, I love him. He's on my fantasy team, so I've been watching a lot of him this year. And this interview with Fernando Tatis, while he was mic'd up watching Vlad bat, and he gave some pretty good perspective about how these two guys that, you know, they came into the league very mirrored. A lot of eyes are on these two guys that both of their dads played. And what a better moment with Tatis talking to the broadcast team. And then Vlad comes up and just goes yabo. It was awesome.
And he does Fernando Tatis' stutter step over third base right in front of his face.
Is that what that was? I feel like he could have done it a little more exaggerated, but
yeah, he was definitely intending to do that. Like when the Cubs played the Padres, Jock Peterson did it twice.
Yeah, but like Fernando does it, like, you know, he's doing it. Like, he'll take a full on stutter step like backwards.
There are some guys who just have a little bit more swag than others. Like Vladdy's like us. Like, he hits tanks and then he hits the showers and eats a hot dog.
Yeah.
That's what we would do if we were in the majors. Fernando Tatis Jr., he's got the chains, he's got the swag, you know, he's probably kissing some girls.
Yeah, he's both of those guys. And I love that Fernando brought up the fact that they're kind of mirrored in terms of, like, they're both coming to the league as two of the young up-and-coming elite superstars of baseball, and both of their fathers, you know, were great for the game. And it's literally like a two-way mirror. And then you throw Acuña Jr. in that mix. It's great for the future.
Yeah, no doubt. And just because your dad was a star doesn't mean that you're going to be.
No, exactly. Yeah.
Our dad was a star baseball player in the major leagues, and we didn't do shit.
Us? Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. What was your favorite part of Denver?
My favorite part of Denver, I got to say, Pete Alonso's first round. Going up against Salvador Perez, setting a new record, 35 home runs. I said he was in a motion and he had the momentum. What am I, the word I'm looking for? He was in a groove. In a groove. Like, I just didn't want to see it stop. Every swing was just a bomb. So, yeah. I mean, that, and then Liam Hendricks, you know, coming in and closing out that game, that was sick. So,
yeah, I was going to say Liam Hendricks as an honorable mention. My favorite part, I already talked about it, was Juan Soto versus Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, that was cool.
Juan Soto's the most underrated player in all of baseball. I think we had that conversation. He's a top 5 hitter for me. Like, I would take him on the White Sox in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. Juan Soto. And he's, I agree with you, he's very underrated. Not many people talk about him.
No. And I think that's the reason they were okay with, like, all right, Bryce Harper, see ya. Like, you don't want to be here? See ya. We'll take Juan Soto and him, Anthony Rendon, Max Scherzer, and Steven Strasburg will lead us to the World Series. And Trey Turner.
Schwarber.
Yeah, but Schwarber wasn't there yet.
Oh, you're saying in 19.
I'm talking in 19 when they won.
I thought you meant like right now.
Rendon's not even there anymore. So, yeah, I would go with that. I would also give an honorable mention to Trey Mancini. You know, what he went through is very difficult, and he seems to be in good spirits and helps other people battle. You know, he's fine now, we hope, like long term. I really thoroughly enjoyed the All-Star game and covering it and seeing the White Sox shine and the Cubs. Not really so much.
Yeah. King Alvarez, King Pookie Nation Alvarez asked why you guys rep West Coast teams. Why not?
I rep everyone.
Yeah.
And this was a Shohei Avi episode. I wanted to talk about Shohei while wearing some Angels gear.
I like to switch it up. I'm a White Sox, Red Sox fan who I actually really like the Dodgers, I like the Giants. I was wearing a Cardinals hat last week. You just got to tune in every week. Who knows what I'm going to be wearing?
Yeah, Joey's wearing a football hat next week.
Football hat?
Yeah, I just decided for you.
Okay, I wear a football hat.
Yeah, tune in next week to see what football hat Joey wears. Whoever can guess, tweet at Joey Parisi.
If I'm here next week.
Yeah, that's true. It's either this week or next week or the week after. You tweet Joey what football hat you think he's wearing at Joey Parisi, and the first person to guess right gets a shout-out on this show. At Joey Parisi, name of the football team.
Deal.
Please just flood his mentions.
Yeah.
I want 50 people. Patriots, Bears, Jaguars, Seahawks, all of it.
I'll be surprised if I get one person tweet at me. Besides you.
Well, I'm not tweeting at you. I try to keep my Twitter looking flawless. I don't respect
Mr. Blue checkmark now. No, too big to tweet at me.
You're going to get verified soon enough. I'm
I don't want to be verified. I don't want it. If they offered it, I'd be like, no.
What are you, an unverified bad boy?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. You'd be like, oh my God, mommy, I got a checkmark.
I don't need it. Yep, there it is.
You know, he ought to wear that hat. He ought to wear that hat.
Why? What's wrong with that hat?
I'm going to see you at the game tomorrow, aren't I?
Most likely. We both will be at the game, Guaranteed Rate Field, first game versus the Astros. We're going separately, but we're both going.
Yeah. For the first time this season, we're going separately because I've only gone with you so far. No. Yeah. I went to one without you. Right?
Oh. We have the same record.
You're right. So what is it? 2-3-1?
No, fuck the one, because we're either 2-3. Because we're going to remake that one. We can't count the one. It was a rainout. The game never happened.
I was thinking about the game, the reason we have a bad record, even though the White Sox are like 50,002.
We go and see every team's other ace.
Yeah. we buy tickets to Glasnow, King. Yeah. Berrios we saw.
Dane Bieber.
We went and saw Bieber.
Like, no shit.
We always like, hey, Joe, you want to go see Giolito? And, you know, we got a couple wins. But, you know, every now and then you're going to lose to one of those top flight pitchers. And Glasnow beat them. And, yeah, you're 1,000% right. And tomorrow's not going to be much easier.
All right, but I'm excited. There's going to be better things to come with this Astros series than the last one. The last one in Houston, they got swept. It's going to be a different story this one.
Yeah. Let's talk about the draft a little bit. The White Sox drafted a kid named Colson Montgomery. It's the first time they drafted a high school prospect since 2012. And to me, the way the White Sox drafted following the selection of Montgomery tells me that they're trying to win 10 straight American League Central titles. And the reason I say that is because they didn't draft many college players that they're just praying make it to the league by a certain time. They drafted best available players everywhere, hoping that they can either trade them at some point or have them come up in 5 years from now when they, you know, someone like Tim Anderson leaves their prime, or, you know, a Yoan Moncada leaves in free agency, or, you know, those are just examples. I don't think either of those things are going to happen. But like those like random times where things happen. Like if Jose Abreu moves on after next year, which is very possible, and they move Andrew Vaughn to first base and have another kid come up and play left field. Like they're just trying to keep the minor league system strong. And it's not about rebuilding anymore. It's about restocking. And sometimes when you restock, you're okay with taking guys who might take a little longer. So that's where I'm at with the White Sox on their draft. You got any thoughts?
Yeah. I really don't know much about any of the guys that they do. I mean, they're so young. Like, you get drafted out of high school in baseball, and it's crazy. But it's cool to look forward to. A lot of pitchers and shortstop, it seems like that's like the position to be as a young prospect.
It was a shortstop-heavy draft, too. 8 of the first 30 selections were shortstops and 11 of the first 37.
Yeah, and then how many of the other people were pitchers?
Yeah, exactly.
So, I mean, those are the two, it seems like the two top-tier positions to be as a young, up-and-coming baseball player. And then it's not uncommon for some of these shortstops to move around the infield. I wouldn't be surprised if they can play, you know, second base, depending on their size and handedness, maybe playing third base. So it was cool, though. Very cool.
Absolutely. The first two picks, Colston Montgomery and Westcath, I'm very excited about them playing. If they trade them at some point, we'll see what the prospect rankings look like in a couple weeks when they add these guys to the current prospect list. But I actually really like the Cubs' first-round pick, too. So Jordan Wicks, he's a pitcher that has probably the best changeup of any draft pick I've seen in a long time. It's the key to his success. He's obviously got A-plus command as well. Is the two big scouting reports on him are that his command and his changeup are just so good. So if he can work on that breaking pitch along with his the fastball, he could be a real good pitcher. I think out of every player that was drafted in the first round, he will be the second one to reach Major League Baseball, maybe the third. The two that come to mind for me are Jack Leiter, who was taken second overall by the Texas Rangers, and Kumar Rocker, who fell all the way to 10th by the New York Mets. And they were both the top two pitchers at Vanderbilt University, you know, one of the best baseball pitching schools in the country. So those are the three that I think are going to make it to the league first, but you know, the Cubs made a good pick.
Yeah. I don't want to put you on the spot here, but if you can throw 94 miles per hour and have a ball that moves noticeably, what would you say that ups your chances of getting drafted? Or is that like kind of common for some of these pitchers, more the control that these guys have over some of the pitchers?
Yeah. If I was scouting, I definitely think that helps. 94 is a little low these days.
For a high school kid?
Oh, for a high school kid, no. If you could throw 90s in high school, like yeah, to be a pro baseball player. Whether it's major league baseball is a different story. But a pro baseball player, like you should be able to touch low A ball if you could throw it in 90s with control in high school.
Yeah, because watching the draft, like it just seems like that was the story, pitcher after pitcher. And like these, and then they show highlights of these kids, and it's like unreal what they can do at such a young age.
Yeah, if your kid is interested in baseball and you see that he's able to throw like 70s, 80s when he's like 12, 13, 14 years old, make sure he sticks with it because lots of money could be on the horizon for him.
Yeah, exactly.
And even like minimum to play low A ball, like I'd do it.
Oh, yeah. I'll say it every week. I'm still working on I'm at 73.
Yeah, I mean, to me, what I would want most in a pitcher, a hard fastball. I'm not going to say one that can move because like Michael Kopech is a freak and that doesn't happen. But, you know, a good slider. I love a good slider. The curveball is kind of dying. You don't even know what an Uncle Charlie means.
I know what it means. You want to get it? You want to have that debate? You want to ask the fans?
No.
Exactly.
No, because I don't want like people yell it at the game. I look at you and you go.
All I said was the average baseball fan, average. You see some guy at a bar, he's watching the Cubbies, and he doesn't really know where they're at in the standings. Your average baseball fan does not know what an Uncle Charlie means. That's all I said.
But you tried to tell me the diehards don't know what an Uncle Charlie means.
I would say most of them don't. Like, a diehard like baseball fan, a young I did say young, and I'm not – no offense to anyone who's, you know, peaking 50 years old. The younger fans – I would say in their 20s, maybe early 30s, don't know the term Uncle Charlie. It's an older phrase that just the average fan doesn't know.
Yeah, I would love to run a poll on that. But then again, people lie. Like, I like putting people on the spot.
Yeah, like, exactly. I mean, if you lie, I mean, you're not doing us any justice.
Yeah,
exactly. I didn't know what it was. I'm proud to admit it. I did not know what an Uncle Charlie was.
It stuns me that you didn't know what it was.
Because I don't think it's a very common term anymore.
Jason Benetti said it on the broadcast like 2 days after we had
you're not allowed to participate. You should know what it is if it's your job to be around the game of baseball.
But he's presenting it to people whose it's not their job.
And people still probably don't know.
So you think Benetti shouldn't have called Dylan Cease's knuckle curve an Uncle Charlie?
I guarantee there were plenty of people watching it and being like, what does he mean by that? What's an Uncle Charlie?
Maybe. You might be right. I mean, I'm not fully – it's not like my other takes that I'll, like, argue. Because most people we've asked didn't freaking know, and it stunned me.
What do you mean most people? There was, like, two people who did know. We've asked a lot of people.
Two things can be true. I can think it's – I could have thought in the past that it was, like, you know, a common term.
Thought it was more common than it actually is.
For those who don't know, I wanted to call Crosstown Crosstalk the Uncle Charlie podcast. That was my initial thought.
That's how it started.
That's the initial thought. I wanted one of my name considerations for this show was the Uncle Charlie podcast. And it never came to fruition because Joey claims nobody knew. He's like, nobody's going to know what that means. It's going to be a stupid name because nobody's going to know what that means. Now, I love Crosstown Crosstalk. I wouldn't change it. It was kind of good that you talked me out of it because I love the show. But, I mean, I was all in on Uncle Charlie for a good day and a half.
If your name was Charlie, there's no better name because it is a baseball term and your name's Charlie that makes it cool. Or if one of us names was Charlie, that would be cool. But just saying Uncle Charlie, like with no Charlie involved, the average person isn't going to know what the hell that is.
I'm going to make a video. I'll actually be with Anthony tomorrow and Anthony will be a good person to like have film me going up to random people. I'll pick out friendly looking people and be like, hey, do you know what an Uncle Charlie means? Maybe I'll get punched in the face, but who cares? I can deal with it.
All right. I would love to see this video.
Yeah. Maybe we'll make that happen. Back to the draft. I only have a couple other things. The Henry Davis became the second catcher in the last 3 years to go 1-1. It was kind of a surprise pick by the Pittsburgh Pirates. Happy for him that he got to go 1-1. He'll make more money, but it was a little bit of a surprise. Wasn't expecting that. And then the other surprise was Jackson Jobe being drafted third overall by the Detroit Tigers. And that allowed the consensus number one player, Marcelo Meyer, to fall to four to the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, I saw a lot on Twitter about him. Obviously, they wanted that guy who went before him.
They wanted Leiter because they thought he could fall. But because Marcelo Meyer is a high school kid, they thought that the Pittsburgh Pirates might take him, but they went with the captain.
I'll be the first to admit, I don't know much about, you know, some of these high school players until they're drafted and, you know, they start developing. I just don't know much about them.
Not a lot of people do. Like, I'm a very, very minorly educated person on these players. Like, even there are people that know more than me by a lot. It's not the strongest suit.
But
I do enough homework to do this show.
It's so much to take in. Yeah. After he was drafted, I did, you know, do a little bit of digging, and apparently this kid is like the best prospect in high school baseball right now.
Yeah.
So at number four, that's a treat for the Boston Red Sox, who are in first place.
Having a number four pick when you're in first place is pretty sweet.
Yeah. Granted, baseball, it's the easiest sport, in my opinion, to go from last place to first place and first place to last place. But
I would say second. No, it's hard. It's very hard to rebuild in baseball. You need a lot of things to go right.
I just think it's
the White Sox did it kind of fast because who was really a bust? Reynaldo Lopez?
Yeah, but once your pieces start coming in all at once, I feel like it's easiest to go from last place to first.
Oh, yeah. But getting to that process where you have those players that can all come.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. But, I mean, that'd be an interesting poll. Which sport is the easiest to go from last place to first place? In my opinion, it's baseball.
Yeah, that's fair. So that's it. That's all I got on the draft. There's not really much. I mean, we'll be talking about those guys hopefully as they come up through the years.
Yeah, it's also when the draft was, what, Sunday?
The first round was Sunday. day first two, round. Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, obviously, there were no games going on Monday and Tuesday, but it's always weird to me, like, with the MLB, how their draft is, like, while games are going on during midseason. It's just a little weird to me. Is it the only sport that does it like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, it wouldn't have been during the All-Star break without COVID.
No, I know, but it's always during the season, no?
Yeah, no, it would have been, like, in June.
Yeah, so it's just always weird that the draft goes on while the season is taking place, but...
Yeah, no doubt about it. So the White Sox have an upcoming series with the Houston Astros for three. We will be there on Friday. First person to come up to me and say hello and tell me why they're saying hello to me because they saw it on this show will get a beer on me.
I like that. And then if you can pick me out, like I'm not even – I don't even have a blue check mark. If you can pick me out at Guaranteed Right Field
– You're happier about the check mark than me.
Oh, I just know how much you've wanted it, like a little dweeb.
I have wanted it really bad.
If you're able to find Joey Parisi at Guaranteed Right Field tomorrow, I'll be there versus the Houston Astros. Yeah, you get a free meal on me. We'll go grab something to eat, a beer. Like, I want someone to pick me out who I don't know who heard it on this show. That would actually be really cool.
Same. You get a free beer of your choice if you come and find me at Guaranteed Right Field.
Yeah, and we won't be together.
No, we won't. So. Except at the beginning when we're eating a Cuban together.
Yeah, we'll meet up. We'll meet up. They do have a tough series. They have a very tough series against the Houston Astros coming up. You want to get into that?
Yeah, we don't know the pitchers yet, so it's hard to like get into this and that. But we know the two teams. I think the White Sox are going to take two of three.
Well, I didn't know it. Let me write that down.
Yeah. To be honest with you, Santiago, I have no idea where I'm sitting. Not a clue.
I'm in section 116, I believe.
Okay. Yeah, I have no idea. I couldn't tell you. It's a tough series. I agree with Luis. I still think they could beat the Astros at home. They got swept by them in Houston. The White Sox have the best home record in baseball. And I think they're going to be a little pissed off from that series in Houston. And they know they have reinforcements coming, and it's an exciting time. And everybody should be just a little bit more fresh after having a week off. I like the White Sox in this series 2-1.
Yeah, I'm not gonna agree with you. It's boring when we both say the same thing. I'm going 3-0 sweep. The reverse sweep. They got swept in Houston. I think it's gonna be a completely different story coming back to Chicago, coming off the All-Star break. And I think, you know, we know Eloy's itching to come back. He's playing in Charlotte now, so it's just gonna be electric factory at Guaranteed Right Field this weekend.
Wow. What about the mini twinnies?
See, and then it's hard for me to say they're not just going to go 7-0 off the gate coming out of the All-Star break, but I'm going to say they win that series 3-1 against the Minnesota Twins because we know the Twins suck. It's in Chicago, so sweeps are hard, though, in four-game series especially.
Yeah, interesting. I think they're going to go 2-2 against the Twins.
2-2? I like that. I like when we disagree.
They are 10-2 against the Twins this season. It is very, very hard to just be that dominant over someone. And I would still say being 12-4 against them after a 2-2 split in this upcoming series, I think that's still considered dominant. And I would be happy with it. If they go 2-1 and then 2-2, I would be completely happy with it.
What if Eloy comes back on Monday for game one against the Twins?
I do not think that will happen. So.
Okay.
He just started in Charlotte. I think we will see Eloy next weekend against the Cleveland Indians is my prediction on when we will see Eloy Jimenez.
Very interesting.
Elvis night.
When is that?
Next Friday night. That is the night I believe we will see Eloy Jimenez for the first time. I hope it's sooner, but actually, no, I don't. I hope it's that day or just right not long after.
If it's not going to be at the beginning of this week, I just hope it's after I get back from my little vacation because I'm assuming if it's in Chicago, you're going to want to go. But that series is not, is it?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, it is?
Huh. I was leaning towards him coming back against the Cubs, but he's coming back sooner than that, I think.
Yeah, that's my logic with him potentially coming back on Monday against the Twins.
I mean... Yeah, I don't see it.
If he just keeps – let's say he goes to Charlotte and has an amazing weekend in Charlotte. Like what? Why not?
No, I mean, there's no reason other than just making sure he's 100% ready
to go. If he comes, especially if he comes in DHs and then just, you know, he's getting his 4 or 5 at-bats and not playing the outfield, why not?
Yeah, I agree.
Have you ever been to an Elvis night?
I have not.
Neither have I. Are you an Elvis fan?
I'm not an Elvis like hater. I just don't know like much.
Fair enough.
Like, what am I gonna do? Shit on Elvis?
I
think peanut butter and bananas on a sandwich is a little weird.
No. There's one thing about Elvis. It's that sandwich that we.
What is it again? No, there's something. Peanut butter and bananas isn't weird. There's something.
Yeah, peanut butter, banana, and bacon.
I would probably try it.
We do not know the pitching matchups yet for the White Sox this weekend. I'm assuming tomorrow morning we'll learn the entire weekend. It's just coming off the All-Star break. There's only one game today in the entire MLB, so a lot of teams are taking it slow.
I can give you a Vinny Parisi prediction.
Let's hear it. I believe
tomorrow will be Carlos Rodon. Saturday will be Lucas Giolito. Sunday will be Dallas Keuchel. And then Monday will be Dylan Cease and Michael Kopech. And then Tuesday will be Lance Lynn. That's my prediction.
Heard it here first. What do we got on the north side?
I do believe Michael Kopech will start one of the two doubleheader games on Monday. Do not be surprised if you don't see him throw a single baseball this weekend.
Tell me that sandwich does not look amazing. Peanut butter, banana, bacon. It looks like we got a little sourdough action. Come on now. Toasted.
Yeah, I would do dirty, nasty things to that sandwich.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're right. I stand back. I stand down. The Chicago Cubs, 3 against the Arizona Diamondbacks, 4 against the St. Louis Cardinals. What do you got? There's our dad. He loves Elvis, king of rock and roll. There you go. There's a reason to like Elvis. That rock and roll might not be where it is today if it weren't for the king.
It does look like diabetes, but it looks very good. Come on now. Every once in a while, it won't hurt you. Diamondbacks. Cubbies might be catching a break here. The Diamondbacks are so bad. 2-1, they'll win the series. It's the next series that not so confident in them. What do you got on the Diamondbacks?
I think the Cubs are going to sweep the Diamondbacks and then take 3 of 4 against the St. Louis Frauds.
Ooh, a little hot streak here for your Cubbies coming from Vinny Parisi.
Going to make things even more annoying for their fan base. I'm rooting for them to sell on a hot streak. That's what I want. I want them to be annoyed. I want it to be hard to sell right before the deadline and then do it and then the bottom fall off. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah, I agree. It should be an easy series, but that's why I'm saying 1-2. Did I say 1-2 or 2-1?
I don't know. 2-1.
Yeah, I wrote 1-2. That's what I'm.
Yeah.
Wow. It should be an easy series, and you should be right. But I mean, they're gonna. I think Kyle Hendricks will get the win. Al Zelaya will get the win, and then I'm not sure about that third game. So we'll see. But your Cardinals series, you're saying 3-1.
I think the Cardinals are bigger frauds than the Cubs, and I think the Cubs are frauds.
I disagree. I'm gonna go 2-2 on that series. I think that's a pretty even series, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, we're looking at it'll be a decent week. I have them going 4-3, and you have them going 6-1. So, I mean, that would be an interesting turn of events going into that trade deadline if they are.
But it's not going to save them. They're 8 games back. And the
Bro, I know it's not going to save them. Sometimes. I mean, a 3-1 series lead would be good against the Cardinals.
Yeah, but Brewers losing.
Oh, yeah, we'd have to look at who the Brew crew are playing, but talk about good and big surprises of this year. What do you have on that?
We're not done with the Cubs. Chill.
What? I got nothing to say. What are they coming off?
I think the Cubs are going to go on a little bit of a – not a run, but they're going to look okay over the next couple of days because they're playing bad teams, and people are going to go, well, maybe they don't have to sell. Maybe they don't have to sell. They could sign Bryant and Baez, and they could still having a broken offense and thinking they have a chance. and then they won't, and then the bottom will fall off, and that's just what's going to happen.
I think Lewis says it perfectly. He says, I think we should sell, but 8 games back isn't too bad. I completely agree. 8 games back is very make-upable, I guess you can say, with half a season against the Brewers, half a season. It's not like the Brewers are the Houston Astros or the Chicago White Sox or the Dodgers. Like, they can go on a cold streak.
I don't think they can.
I think they can. I think they've been
They have the second best rotation in the National League.
They've been a great, you know, team up in this point. They didn't start off like that.
No, but the rotation, it all goes back to pitching. Why are the White Sox in first place with their two best hitters on the shelf?
I get that,
but because Wayne Rodon, Giolito, Cease, and Keuchel have been great.
If
the Brewers are great is because of their rotation.
If there's a division to blow an 8-game lead of all the divisions, I'm picking the NL Central to do it.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
You're looking at the glass half full for the Cubs. I think it's half empty. 8-game lead is a halfway to losing the division by 16 games.
I mean, one of us have to be a Cubs representative, right?
But
I'm saying that from a completely unbiased
point. It's hard to figure out where my biases are when I, like, go on my little fun rants. But when I'm talking serious, I'm just doing my job. They stink.
They do, but I also
– I just picked them to go 6-1. So you know that
– It looks to me like you're a Cub fan.
I look good in blue.
Yeah, keep telling yourself that. I look good in blue. Dodger blue? Come on now.
Yeah. Well,
I think it's doable. I do think they should sell. They should sell everything. But, I mean, if you say they're going to go 6-1 until our next show.
That'll make up a game or two in the division.
You're saying the Brewers are just going to, you know, do the same thing?
I'm so high on the Brewers.
I get that. But, I mean.
Their rotation is disgusting. All 5 of them could have been all-stars. And I think pitching is the most important thing in Major League Baseball. It's proven time and time again. The White Sox have Jimenez and Robert on the shelf, and they've been winning. Can't imagine when they get those guys back. And if the pitching keeps up, that's a World Series team. I'm just telling you, man, it's all about pitching. Lance Lynn and Carlos Rodon should be the number one priority of Rick Hahn's list right now. More than trading for Bryant, or more than trading for Trevor Story. I believe that.
Yeah, it kind of sucks that the Brewers are playing. I mean, they could technically help the Cubs. They're playing the Reds, who I completely forgot about in the equation. And the Royals.
Drive to left center field by Castellanos. That'll be a home run. And that'll make it a 4-0 ball game.
Yeah, so they're playing the Reds and the Royals.
I consider myself a man of faith.
I'm not really too high on the Reds either, so I guess, yeah, the Cubs are fucked.
Yeah, they're fucked.
July 30th, I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Because one team.
Send them east. Send them east. I'm not out on these players. They just stink right now.
They've been bad at offense for 3 or 4 years now. Overrated. Sorry. You're not going to get by with that .280 on base percentage. Sorry.
So you're saying if Chris Bryant came to the Red Sox and just all of a sudden started crushing the ball and being awesome, 2016 Chris Bryant, that would surprise you?
Yes. He's a great player, not an elite player.
What about earlier this year when he was on fire?
He was on fire for about a month, and look how the team did. Yeah. Then what happened in June? He hit .112.
Pitching. You just were saying about pitching.
The Cubs don't have it. That's why they stink.
Exactly. So how are you out on these guys if the reason they stink isn't these guys?
Well, because they score like 2.8 runs a game or something low like that too.
I get that. But you just said the reason the Cubs are bad is they're pitching. And then you're saying that
the offense is broken. That's why I think they're bad, not mediocre.
I think it's more good players playing bad.
You can't say they've been playing – like, the sample size is large enough to, like, start thinking they're a little overrated.
Listen, until
– bad offensively, no. Overrated offensively, yes.
Okay, overrated more, but I agree with what you said earlier. Then a team's not going to give up, you know, their top prospects for these guys for 3-month rentals.
No, and that's a problem that the Cubs have.
Yeah.
They didn't develop pitching during the Theo Epstein era. None of it. All their starters were either trades. Alzolay's the closest thing. They traded away Dylan Cease. You know, we're going to get into our biggest surprises and biggest failures. One of the biggest failures is the Cubs' ability to draft and develop pitching, or draft and develop in general. Bryant, yeah, that was a lucky one. Schwarber had some big moments, but Ian Happ, horrible. Albert Almora Jr., horrible. You know, it's just – it's not working. Nico Horner's a pretty good player.
When you said we're going to get into the biggest, like, disappointment, did you mean players or did you mean teams?
Teams.
Oh, okay, because I thought you were going to talk about players. I wrote down teams from each.
Yeah, me too. Who's your biggest surprise in a positive light?
So I have an AL and an NL. I wrote down one of each. The biggest surprise for me, and yeah, you can say I think I'm pretty good at not being biased, but for me it's the Boston Red Sox. You went into this year, you think it's the Rays division, and then right under them, you probably are going to think it's the Yankees who suck. We'll get into that when we talk about biggest disappointments. But here it is, the Red Sox are on top. You know, they've Alex Verdugo is becoming an elite outfielder in the MLB. He was pretty good with LA. They're doing it without Mookie. Their pitching has been great, regardless of, you know, who their ace is, whether it be Eduardo Rodriguez, Nathan Eovaldi, like it's Eovaldi, and Matt Barnes came in to close and he's been doing phenomenal. So Nick Pivetta started off amazing. So it's the Red Sox for me is the biggest surprise in the American League. Like, I don't think anyone had them last year. They were, you know, pretty dog water. And then now we have all-star Xander Bogaerts, Rafael Devers, JD Martinez, just putting on a show for the American League East. And then over in the National League, it's the San Francisco Giants. They started off like really, really good, you know, competing with the Dodgers and the Padres. Everyone thinks it's going to be those two teams going at it. And no one really was, you know, sticking with the Giants. Everyone was like, oh, they're going to fall off. But no, they've been consistently probably one of the best teams in the entire National League all year long. So I don't think they're falling off. I've said it every single week, so I'm going to keep that streak alive, that it's going to be the Dodgers, Padres, and Giants down to the final week of the season fighting for that first place spot.
Fair enough. We have one of the two the same. I think the Giants are mine for sure, and I'll just echo your entire soliloquy on why they are your biggest surprise. The other one I had listed was the Milwaukee Brewers, because I actually was talked into the Red Sox starting 27-10.
Yeah. Who do you got in the AL? Those are two NL teams.
In the AL.
You can say the White Sox. I was close to say the White Sox because I thought the White Sox were going to be really good.
They're not even slightly surprising to me.
I thought they were going to be really good.
Everything.
I didn't think they were going to be best team in the MLB good.
I thought they had a chance. I did. I'll dig up some old tweets. I mean it. Especially the only thing is the injuries.
Yeah, I was going to say even when Eloy got hurt before the opening day.
Listen, I expected them to have a record like this. I didn't expect them to get there the way they did.
Okay, I guess that's fair enough. I expected them to be very good and have, you know, the winning their division. I didn't expect them to be, like, you know, pushing for the MLB lead.
Yeah, I was hoping Rodon would be a competent fifth pitcher, not an ace in the All-Star game.
Exactly.
And Lance Lynn, like, Dallas Keuchel has their lowest ERA, and it would be the highest ERA on the Cubs. So, like, I didn't expect the pitching to be the story. You know, I thought they would score a billion runs, Abreu, Moncada, Anderson, Eloy, Robert, Madrigal, like, Grandal. The names just go on and on. So, really, I'm not even slightly surprised that the White Sox have this bit good of a record. I'm not.
That was pretty much.
I guess from the American League, I would say the Houston Astros.
Yeah, that's a good answer, too.
They didn't have much left from that core. Garrett Cole's not there anymore. You know, how are they going to do without banging trash cans? Yeah, exactly. And they're kind of becoming like WWF superstars now. The way they, you know, Aaron Judge goes like this after he hits a home run to mock Jose Altuve. And then the next day, this fucker hits a walk-off and rips off his shirt. I mean,
it's a fun team.
And I can't wait to go watch people boo them. I'm personally not going to boo them because I see things from a different light than, like, the average person. And I'm going there to, you know, write my tweets and cover the game. But I'm excited to like take videos of the crowd booing them.
Yeah, I'm obviously a White Sox fan through and through, and I'm going to this game. I'm rooting for the White Sox, but we also, you know, you and me, especially when we go to Blackhawks games, we love going and seeing the talent from around the league come to our towns and being able to watch players. Like, we go to the White Sox. This is going to be what, our eighth White Sox game, seventh White Sox. We see these guys all the time. I love watching other MLB superstars come to our town and play and be able to see these guys in person that we don't get to see all the time. So I'm very excited to see the Astros play. And yeah, they're a huge surprise because, like, I was saying, a lot of people were out on them after, you know, the whole cheating thing. Is like, people would question, you know, are these guys even really good? Are they elite level players? Is Jose Altuve even worth what he gets? I was saying, yeah, he's obviously still a good baseball player. Yeah, they cheated. They were caught. It's bad. But these guys, to me, were still good baseball players, and that's why I kind of love that they're so good right now, because it's proving me right that they're still a good team regardless of whether they were cheating or not.
Yeah, I mean, the cheating thing is part of the reason I didn't really expect them to be this good. But I also – they lost Springer. They don't have Cole. So Verlander's out. So there were a lot of moving parts, and I was just like, the A's are really good. And the A's are really good. It's a two-horse race in that division. Seattle's making it kind of interesting by playing as well as they are. But, I mean, yeah, I would say they're my biggest American League surprise. I didn't even have them written down. I don't have a National League team written down for biggest disappointment. So who are your biggest disappointments?
This is the New York Yankees in the American League.
Okay. You could give reasons why.
Yeah, they got Garrett Cole, who started off great. Aaron Judge is healthy. Giancarlo Stanton started off really good. And you look at their roster on paper, and it's supposed to be up there with the Tampa Bay Rays, the defending American League champions, and they suck. They can't beat bad teams. Garrett Cole seems to be struggling ever since, you know, he's been in the media.
Except for his most recent start.
Yeah, except for his moment. He is an all-star. But it's just, I don't know. It's just not working in New York, and I love it.
do you have a National League?
Yeah, the Cubs. I didn't think they were going to be elite, but, I mean, what a disappointing season. Because they kind of suck.
Yeah, no, they're pretty bad. I had two American League teams written down. Of course, for me, the first one is the New York Yankees. I think the reason the Yankees are bad is because they kind of build their team the wrong way. Since 2002, they have had one first-round pick make it successfully, and that is Aaron Judge. They trade a lot of them away. They buy a lot of players. Good teams like the Dodgers, Red Sox, White Sox, they promote from within. Six of the last seven White Sox first-round picks are currently on their active roster. And I just don't think the way the Yankees are built are a recipe for success right now. And the other team I have listed is the Minnesota Twins. I thought they would be the thorn in the White Sox side this season. Instead, they've gone 2-10 against the White Sox, and the Indians have been a bigger issue. It's a lot to do with their pitching. It's not good. Their starting lineup can mash, but if they start trading away guys like Nelson Cruz or Josh Donaldson, things will start to turn for them. I really don't have a National League team. The National League is really kind of scoping out the way I thought, other than the Brew Crew. The only team I guess I could say I thought would be a little bit better, or actually, no, I do have a disappointment in the NL. One just popped in my brain. The Atlanta Braves.
I was going to guess either the Braves or the Nationals. I was on the fence between Braves, Nationals, and Cubs, and I went with the Cubs.
Yeah, I didn't think the Nationals were going to be all that good because their roster from their 2019 team is slowly but surely dwindling. Now, Kyle Schwarber's resurgence has allowed them to like crawl back into things a little bit, but I think the Braves, they were my World Series prediction. I had the White Sox and the Braves matching up in the World Series in the preseason, and I just now that Acuña is out for the season, I actually, like I mentioned before in the show, we have a good friend that lives in Atlanta, and I planned on hitting a Braves game. I still plan on it. I would like to, but I texted him that I think they're gonna have a big second half. I'm starting to rescind that opinion because of the fact that their best player is now out. They have good players. You know, I still think next year they could be a World Series contender again if they're healthy, but they need more pitching, man.
Yeah, that's kind of a weird division. I guess going into that, you could have really picked any division going into the season for me, right? You could have picked any team to win that division, and I would have probably like not called you crazy.
Yeah, the Marlins probably not. I know they made the playoffs last year, but I think if it were a full season, the bottom would have fell out.
Maybe, maybe. How's your boy doing on the Marlins?
Oh, Jazz Chisholm Jr., he's amazing.
He's still doing good?
Oh, good.
That's good.
Oh, yeah. He's just mashing bombs. I mean, he's awesome. He's fast. He's got a little bit of swag. Like, he's just a good player.
Yeah. That's very cool. But, yeah, that division is weird. And the Braves aren't out. Yeah, it sucks that Acuña is, you know.
Yeah, they still have a chance.
Yeah, what if it's like the White Sox? And that's that next man up mentality. So, like, you never know.
Yeah, absolutely. So, those are my disappointments. The Yankees have the best chance of getting it together, I would say, out of the three. Because Severino's going to come back. Garrett Cole's pissed off. He's yelling at Aaron Boone, I'm staying in, man. You can't take me out of this game. You know, you know where I get that memo from. Yeah, take a sip.
Yeah.
So we're inviting the chat to ask any questions real quick before we go. I saw a comment about the Detroit Tigers. The Detroit Tigers, they're somewhat of a surprise. They're not quite as surprised to the extent of the other teams we named, but they're not the worst team in the league, and AJ Hinch has a lot to do with that.
I feel like the Tigers play really good against good teams.
Absolutely.
That's just kind of what I've, you know, noticed. I don't – like, they beat the White Sox in a series.
Yeah, the White Sox swept them two series ago, and Detroit was kind of mad about it, and they came back and took two or three the next time.
Yeah, they got some wins against Houston. They
swept it at home.
They swept the Yankees in late May. So, yeah, I mean, the Tigers, that's actually a great like, – yeah, they're not as sucky as I guess we thought, so.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. They're the team in the American League Central that I am the most worried of long-term. I think the Twins are going to stink in short order. I think the Cleveland Indians will always develop pitching, but their lineup stinks. So I'm really not scared of them long-term. And the Kansas City Royals have a long way to go. The Detroit Tigers consider to add top pitching and good coaching. And, you know, Miggy's not what he once was, but they still have some other good players that can hurt you. So the Detroit Tigers are the team I'm the most worried about long term when these White Sox are trying to win 10 straight American League titles. Santiago asks, if you could figure out a Sox Cubs trade, what would it be? I would give somebody like sixth or lower, like a Jonathan Stever or a Luis Gonzalez or even a Jake Berger, to have someone like Chris come play right field.
I don't know what I'd give. And this is obviously like situational because of the injury. I would try to get Wilson Contreras behind the plate.
That's a divided conversation on Cubs Twitter. Maybe we can lead that off with our next show. But the Wilson Contreras, should we trade him? Should we keep him? Is a hefty debate. Like, I know if you listen to Cap and Jay Hood, they're all in on keeping him. They should build around Wilson Contreras. Get rid of Rizzo, Bryant, and Baez and build around Wilson Contreras. He's an elite catcher. Okay, and then you got, like, the Redline Radio guys who think he's the last one they should keep. So it's a very intriguing argument with Wilson Contreras.
Yeah, I like him too. And I think with, you know, obviously the injury to Grandal, you know, I love Grandal. I think it would actually work out pretty nicely.
Yeah. You know what people are like, not – it's been mentioned, but it's not something that is talked about as much as it probably should. The reason the White Sox haven't acted on any of these injuries yet is because they're 55 and 23 or whatever it is, 54 and 23. Like, why would they rush to add a catcher when Zach Collins steps in and he goes 2-for-4 the next night?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he's been good since Grandal's injury. Or Gavin Sheets is hitting well. And Jake Berger had a couple hits. He's still looking
for Ryan Goodwin playing center, hitting bombs.
Jake Berger will hit his first career home run this weekend against the Houston Astros. You know, Billy Hamilton. Why didn't they go out and get a center fielder to play in Lou Bob's place? Because Billy Hamilton, Brian Goodwin has a pretty good OPS. So I just think there's no reason to make a big splash trade until the deadline, because Rick Hahn will have a good idea on what his club needs by that point in time.
You reading that?
You could go for it.
Horner.
Nico Horner.
Yeah, Horner makes me excited for the future. Also, Baez out the door soon, if not at the deadline. Ed Howard with the eyeball emoji. I like that. Horner makes me horny.
Yeah, Horner's a good player. I don't think he's a superstar or anything like that, but he's one of the better players from his draft. If that draft were redone, he'd probably go top 10. Baez isn't going to get as much as people think, kind of like Bryant, but he has a low on-base percentage, but he has a high OPS because all of his hits are to Pluto. So we'll see what happens with Baez. He's probably the most intriguing player on the Cubs, I would say.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't think any three of those guys stay. I think Wilson probably does. I like the idea of Wilson staying, but to go back to the first question, that's the guy I'd want to see on the White Sox from the Cubs.
Yeah, I actually think Rizzo's going to stay. He's the only one. And Contreras till next year. They'll trade Contreras in the offseason. But Brian, Contreras, see you later.
Craig?
I would trade Craig.
Yeah, I would. If there's a player to trade, it's Craig Kimbrel, because I feel like a team will pay for that closer that needs it, that can contend more than, I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. So,
best closer in the MLB.
Yeah, Liam Hendricks, I agree. Got anything else on this show?
Not really. It was a great, phenomenal show over in Denver for the All-Star. I keep wanting to say All-Star weekend, but I guess we'll just say All-Star break. It was Monday and Tuesday. It was so much fun. I enjoyed every second of it, but now it's time to get back to work, and we'll be there tomorrow at Guaranteed Rate Field.
Yeah, I agree. And really quick, Luis is asking about the Cubs' backup position. The Cubs aren't worried about it. Like, if they're going to be sellers, they're not going to really care. Like, they're not going to bring in someone to, like, be the catcher in Wilson Contreras' place if they trade him. Like, they're trying to lose at that point and get a good pick. So I don't think they're too worried about that right now. Make sure you're following at Joey Parisi on Twitter. Guy needs more followers.
I do. Like I said, if you what did you say to tweet at me? Oh, what football hat I would wear. Yeah,
football hat. Whoever guesses what football hat Joey's wearing right will get a shout-out on this show, like a big shout-out.
Yeah. You have to guess. I already have it in my head. It's already in here what football hat I'm going to wear. So.
And if you come up to either of us at Guaranteed Rate Field tomorrow and say, hello, I'm so-and-so, I am a Crosstown Crosstalk listener, I will buy you a beer right on the spot. So.
Fun times, fun times.
Absolutely. This was great. This was, you know, happy All-Star game. I hope you enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking about it. And, you know, like we said, back to work for the second half. This is where shit gets real. This is where we start thinking about the World Series.
These next 2 weeks, especially before that trade deadline.
Yep, we will have a very good idea. I don't know if you're going to be on the show next week. Joey's got a little vacation. Everyone wish him well and safety. I believe by the next time we talk in 2 weeks, there is a great chance we will have a much broader idea of who actually has a chance to win this thing.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And even, yeah.
And a special shout out, Luis and Santiago. You guys have been awesome in the chat today, especially. I know we had a couple other people. I would have to scroll way up to find them. But
King Pookie Nation Alvarez.
Pookie. Mookie, yeah. Pookie?
Mookie Pookie.
Mookie Pookie. Go Dodgers. Yeah, we will see you guys next week. Make sure you listen to all of the shows on the Barroom Network, first of all. I can't stress enough how important that is, that all the shows, all the sports, media, entertainment, it's all so great. And there are some big things coming for football season. We're going to talk a little football next week, I think. I want to talk some football. I'm itching. You know, I go outside today. Or no, it was either yesterday or the day before. I stepped outside and I closed my eyes and I went. And when you do that with your eyes closed and forget what month it is, you're like, oh, football's coming. You could smell it. You could just smell it sometimes.
You're a clown.
So it's coming. And when the three sports are going, hockey, baseball, and football in October, like, oh. And basketball. Shout out to the basketball guys. Sorry, Laro. How'd the Cubs do today? I'm looking forward to it. So make sure you hit us up at Twitter, at Joey Parisi, at Vinny Parisi, and we thank you for listening.